Hey gang, welcome, welcome. I let the music play extra long just now because I wanted to be extra psyched. And Mr. T and Mini-Me are also extra psyched. You know, this is National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and Republic Broadcasting Network is the last bastion of free speech in the country, maybe in the whole world. So go there, click on the donate button, and send shekels. And also go to my site, nationalbugle.com. I don't ask for shekels, but I do say that you should download the Co-Certified app, because the Co-Certified app is totally my sponsor. And it, you know, this is just one day after Yom Kippur. You want to know if your food is kosher certified or not, because it matters. We don't want a kosher certified society. We don't want kosher certified politicians. You have to know. You have to know these things. If you want kosher certified food, that's up to you. But you want to know. You want to know. You know that I do normie work. I am a normie, and I work. And so I'm just coming back from my normie work, which is spreading awareness of canine illiteracy. It's a bigger problem than I had ever thought. I mean, my dog, he reads. I chide him sometimes because of what he reads. He has a tendency to read comic books. He likes a lot of the Japanese manga. I gave him a book, you know, Electronics for Dogs, because I figured he could help me with my house. But no, he just went right back to Dragon Ball Z. So you never know. You never know. This is a call-in show. This is a live show. You can call in. It's 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. But first, don't call in right away. We have Jeremy from Kentucky. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Doctor. Feels a little different being caller, Jeremy, rather than guest co-host, Jeremy, but it's an honor nonetheless.
Well, there is a lot going on, and you know, we can talk about a variety of things, but first of all, we do have to talk about President Trump and his decision regarding Syria. But you have a couple of other things that you wanted to talk about. So what's on your agenda today?
Well, first of all, as a responsible guest co-host, I feel the need to correct myself. So I want to do a little house cleaning from yesterday's broadcast. When we were talking about the troops in Syria, I mentioned that there were close to 1,000 total, like, contractors and all. But the withdrawal that Trump is talking about is actually about 50 or so special forces that are training the Kurds. So I wanted, and because the article that we were reading Tuesday night was a little misleading, and I don't want to be misleading into thinking he's wanting this big troop withdrawal. But we are talking about specific you know, troops that are doing the training for the Kurds that could also be used as a tripwire, you know, if somebody attacks.
Well, tripwire also known as a human shield, right?
Yeah, and I believe you did mention that. I just wanted to correct that. And there was number two correction before we move on. We were going down the list of Democratic candidates, their rankings. You know, Biden was two, and Warren, Moneybags Warren, is one. I made the statement that Wall Street would not support Biden. I need to correct that. It's Wall Street will not support Warren. And even though she's number one, that's why I feel that I don't think she's a viable candidate.
Yeah. Warren and Wall Street do have. Well, here's the thing. So she has made all sorts of pronouncements about Wall Street. She had been a major proponent of. This is before she was senator, but when she was a Harvard professor, of setting up some sort of consumer protection agency. And she, I guess it was a financial consumer protection agency. She wound up being nominated by Obama to be the first head of this. I don't think she ever got Senate confirmation. And then she wound up running for Senate. But she had even been supported by the likes of Ralph Nader. Well, so the thing is, you know, she speaks. She talks the talk, but she doesn't walk the walk. If push comes to shove, Well, if Wall Street has a choice between Trump and Warren, Trump's been pretty good for Wall Street. They wouldn't need to go to Warren. But if Warren wound up becoming president, I think she and Wall Street would probably, they'd probably find a way to coexist. So,
I did want to throw that correction out there at any rate. So, so Trump withdrawal from Syria, I sent you a few things, but, the most interesting one was, Trump makes a comment that, and then, the Haaretz article that I sent you, says that he caused the war stupid.
Not that war in particular, but Middle East wars in general. Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
In general.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks there, Donald.
Cool it, Donald. Hitler Jr. I mean, why don't you just grow a little mustache and see Hail? The article actually doesn't call him Hitler, but it does go into how Trump is going, he's going the opposite direction of decades of U.S. foreign policy. And I'm like, decades of endless war in the Middle East.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he was elected for. Right.
Right. And so we know that Trump is the president of Twitter, definitely. And so how, will he fully push through on this? Is this rhetoric, to kind of get his base back? Does he, with impeachment looming, I think he knows that if he doesn't have a good base, it's all over.
Yeah. So I just want to clarify a couple things. I guess we did talk about it in yesterday's show, but the Kurds, they have their own agenda, and the Kurdish agenda, and the Kurds, of course, spread over mainly in these four countries, Turkey number one, Iran number two, Iraq number three, and Syria number four. They really, their homeland in Syria is actually a small corner of the country. I believe the Kurdish forces are occupying a lot more than their own, ancestral homelands. And Turkey has whether you support Kurdish independence or not, well, it's really none of our business. But the biggest population of Kurds is in Turkey, and for decades they've been fighting what you could call a terrorist war, whatever. But they have been fighting this insurgency against Turkish government, seeking to take a big hunk of Turkey into an independent Kurdistan. And not unsurprisingly, the Turkish state sees this as some sort of existential threat. It's pretty unusual, not unheard of, but pretty unusual for a country just to say, oh, well, we got this region that's that is inhabited by an ethnic minority. We'll let it go independent. That's pretty unusual. Well, go right ahead.
Historically, they would have been right there east of the Euphrates by Iran. As the Medes, that's why they allied with the Persians. It was more of an ally than a conquering historically. But probably during the realignment of the Middle East, the fall of the Ottoman Empire, most likely is when you had all of that messed up. And the Kurdistan's left without a state.
And if you look on the map or the globe, I like my globe, the Euphrates River goes right smack up diagonally through the middle of Iraq, and then it cuts across Syria. So you've got northwestern Syria that is on the other side of the Euphrates, and then it goes right up into Turkey. It goes right up into the Turkish plateau or the Anatolian plateau. And so,
Turkey's credit. They want to make that a zone for refugees. To Turkey's credit, rather than dump them into Europe. Because you got over a million there, refugees, quote-unquote refugees from Syria.
Well over a million. And here's the thing. You might say, oh, well, they would be going into the Kurdish areas of Syria and transplanting those people. No, they would go there. There'd be some – as soon as the civil war ends, these people who are now refugees in Turkey, they would – temporarily be refugees in northern Syria, but why would they stay in northern Syria after the civil war is over? They'd go back to wherever they came from in Syria. And of course, a lot of them aren't really from Syria. A lot of them are from points beyond, even Pakistan and places like that. And so once they realize they're not getting to Europe, and they're not even going to stay in Turkey, they're going to go back to whence they came. They're not going to sit there in in refugee camps forever in northern, you know, along the in the safe zone that's going to be established right along the Turkish border inside Syria. Donald Trump is doing the right thing. It doesn't happen very often. Let's enjoy it while we can. Well, that's kind of my
with this right thing that he's doing, and with his rhetoric against endless Middle Eastern wars, I think that the media, Jewish power in the media, is realigning. Fox News has always been a little anti-Trump in some areas, but they're turning on Trump, and in turn, Trump and Rush Limbaugh have turned on Fox News. That's a very interesting development. I guess apparently Fox has this fake and gay poll where 51% of Americans want to see Trump not only impeached but removed. Mm-hmm. And of course, the poll is fake and gay, but that's not the point whether the poll is real or not. The point is that Fox is using this as propaganda against Trump.
Yeah, so you know, Fox News has this reputation as being the outlier. In certain ways, it is. But if you actually, if you look at the Fox News personalities and their shows, I think they're. I don't. The only thing I watch on Fox News on any kind of regular basis is Tucker, and he's different. And he's not always pro-Trump, but he's not a never-Trumper. He is somebody, he likes the MAGA agenda, and when Trump strays from the MAGA agenda, he'll call Trump out on it. But you've got people like Shep Smith, for instance, Shepard Smith, who's gay and fake, and fake and gay, and he's a never-Trumper. I think Chris Wallace, who's Jewish, is a never-Trumper. I don't know about Neil Cavuto per se, but Neil Cavuto's, he's certainly not MAGA. Yeah, he is for endless wars.
And one thing they all have in common, other than Tucker, is they're all neocons to the bone. And Fox is the neocon network. It's no surprise that they would turn on him just for his rhetoric about the stupid Middle Eastern wars.
Yeah, and like somebody like Sean Hannity, he's super partisan, he's very pro-Trump, but he's pro-Trump because he's trying to lead Trump just to be another neocon. And so he's not really a good friend. He's not a good ally. I do have to give Sean Hannity credit. In such a close election like in 2016, without Sean Hannity, Trump might never have been elected. But Sean Hannity's, he's bad news. And so it's interesting, Rush Limbaugh, who I would have just used in the same sentence. I would have spoken him in the same sentence with Sean Hannity, but he's partway distancing himself from that.
He's got, right? Excuse the French. He's got FU money. That's basically what it is. And Rush could, get out and say what he wanted to, and he can say a lot more than what people on Fox can say. And he is he's been more pro-white in the last, 2 years than he's probably ever been, ever since 1988 when he talked about the Jewish power in New York, and then he got smacked down for that. But, Rush says some good stuff. Now, they're all controlled opposition, but I'm just saying that, Rush tends to be more with the president and now at the expense of Fox. So I think that we're seeing Jewish power align as Trump is making these anti-Semitic, anti-war remarks.
So in what way is it realigning?
Well, what I'm seeing then, in the original realignment, the neocons, who, were all about Bush and the Republican Party, they defected over to the left to the point of actually voting for Hillary. So that was a major realignment that we had.
In 2016.
In 2016, and that gave breathing room for the ultra right wing Stephen Miller, Stephen Steinwein, Michael Wiener Savage type Jewish power to come in and start supporting Trump. Gave them some breathing room. And then you had other realignments like Kushner, who was total leftist. He just supports Trump because of opportunity, right? He don't care. He's not ideological.
Yeah. Now I would say that some of the neocons after Trump was elected, there's a faction of neocons who were just, well, if you can't beat him, hijack him. And
specifically,
they were successful with that.
Mark Levin. Yeah, Mark Levin specifically, because his radio show would be over. If he kept Never Trumping, he would have lost that radio show. He had to. And he's just doing it because he has a, you know, basically, he doesn't want to lose his platform. And he even created this new, like, fake and gay, right-wing television show. I can't remember what it's called, but it's not doing well either.
Like a television network, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see. They ended up firing Gavin McGinnis, I think. Which, you know, Gavin was too alt-right for him. Wow, that's, you know, that says something about what Mark Levin is doing.
Very, very edgy.
Yes, yes, yes. But I just see a realignment of power where I think maybe Trump is going back to his Stephen Miller right-wing Jewish power days, you know, and I'm hopefully, you know, hopefully it's not just to get out of impeachment and win the 2020. Hopefully there'll be some good things, but if he can just keep us out of the war with the Middle East, that's all I'm asking for. That's all I'm asking for right now, and that's all I expect. I don't expect anything else.
Well, we'll see, and these are good statements that have come out, and for him to say that the wars are stupid, they're not in our interest, that's a big deal. You wouldn't have heard, who else would have said that? Now, you know, regarding the neocons, right after the 2016 election, within, I guess, days after the election, there was a big meeting, and at least according to Steve Bannon, the decision was made to try to govern as an establishment Republican. Well, establishment Republican means neocon foreign policy. And so they did open the door. And, you know, people like Rex Tillerson or General Flynn, they weren't neocons, but Nikki Haley was brought in, and Mike Pompeo was brought in as CIA chief. So you had a big hunk of his original lineup was neocon, and these are the if you can't beat them, hijack them crew, and they wound up hijacking and you know getting themselves promoted and bringing in John Bolton and whatnot. And the only reliable, well, I wouldn't even say reliable, but the only person who's really not a neocon in the Trump administration is Trump himself, with maybe, you know, a couple of exceptions, like Steve Miller, who's really just a speechwriter and an advisor. He doesn't have any particular role. But if Trump is, you know, when Trump puts his foot down sometimes, like when he tried to do the Syria withdrawal last Christmas, and it wound up Mattis resigned over it. So we'll see what happens. We'll be right back after the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting Truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio. Okay, we are taking calls. It's 1-800-313-9443, and Jeremy will hang on for a little bit. We have Jim from Brooklyn. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dr. Slattery, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Jim?
Okay, I heard you ask the other day, just to start up something, you asked, you don't know what the words habanagula mean.
No, I don't. What do they mean?
Okay, it's a secular Zionist song. It's not sung by religious Jews. As a matter of fact, I live in a neighborhood of anti-Zionist Hasidim. If you walked in and sang that song, they would throw you out, okay?
Okay, now, I'm aware of those, that sect, the anti-Zionist Hasidic Jews. I've seen them at demonstrations from time to time. Now, I've gone by, say, a Lubavitch Center during the high holidays, and they're singing Habanagula.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, that's pronounced Lubavitch. The accent is on the second syllable, Lubavitch.
Okay. Lubavitch, thank you very much.
Okay. Now, I was right next door to the anti-Zionist synagogue. It's a big synagogue. On Yom Kippur yesterday, there were thousands of people there. Okay. Now, the word Habanagula means come and let us rejoice. That's what it means.
Okay. Hey, Jim.
I want to talk about the Kurds, but go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, I think Jeremy has a quick question for you, and then we can talk about the Kurds.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, good to hear from you. And I actually am a really strong Christian, and I study after a Jewish man who has converted to Christianity. He converted back in the 60s. His name is Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, and he's got a lot of good stuff out. AerialMinistries.org, I think. Have you ever heard of him?
I have not.
Yeah, you ought to check him out. I just wanted to throw that out there I remember you and Patrick talking before. Yeah, go ahead with the Kurds.
Yeah, okay. Here's what I believe. And I think this will actually make what we refer to as the neocons, it will actually make them happy. I believe that the Kurds will be pushed into the arms of the Israelis, and the Kurds are Sunnis, and they are anti-Iranian. And I think that first of all, the Kurds have had certain business alliances with the Israelis before, such as oil production and oil pipeline transfers.
Mm-hmm.
I think one way or another there will be some kind of a Kurdish-Israeli alliance, and I would not be surprised if Trump actually conferred with some Israeli people before he went ahead with this. I don't know if he did, but I think it's going to go that way.
Well, so the Kurds in Iraq were able to carve out an autonomous pseudo state or something, a little state in a state within a state in northern Iraq after the invasion there, and they aligned themselves pretty openly with Israel. And in northern Syria, at least for a while, you had. Let's see. I guess when ISIS was in control of northern Syria, you did have the oil resources. Those oil wells in northern Syria were pumping oil, and it wasn't going into a pipeline. It was going onto trucks and going into Turkey, and then a lot of that, I guess, was getting to Israel. I think the Israelis have long. Israelis and Zionists have long had connections with Kurds. Now, the Kurds in one country or the Kurds in the other country, they're not always going to have the same interests. But, even Henry Kissinger back in the 70s was exploiting or using the Kurds for his purposes, whatever they were back then. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it looks like that look at the way the media, the Zionist media, has always promoted the Kurds, the Kurdish cause. I think the alignment between the Kurds and Zionists, or the Kurds and Israel, is already, that's existing. And what Trump is doing is some non-Zionist realpolitik. That's the way I see it. I'm not the biggest expert, but what do you think of that?
It's interesting. I mean, one small point, not directly related, that a lot of people don't realize, you probably do, is that Saladin, who in his day conquered the entire Middle East, was a Kurd.
No, I didn't know that.
Saladin. Okay. Saladin was a Kurd, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to bring that up, and have a good day.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. We have about a minute before the next break, and I know, Jeremy, you've got to get back to work because you're a working stiff. I'm a working stiff. What do you think? Well, you still have time.
I came into this with such high expectations of Trump, and I think a lot of us did, that it's hard now it feels like we've had everything dashed to pieces. It's hard to just not disconnect and forget about it all and say, I don't care, politics are fake and gay, I quit. It's easy to say that, but I think we need to look at it realistically and say, let's hang in here, let's take what we can get from Trump, but let's understand that he has not went to war yet, and he's saying some positive things.
Okay, good. All right, well, thank you for calling, Jeremy, and I'll be back after the break and taking more callers, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is a call-in show, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. So call and we'll talk. I think it's potentially a big deal. What could happen? Well, one thing that could happen is more or less the same thing that happened 10 months ago when President Trump announced he wanted to withdraw from Syria, and then he announced he wanted to withdraw from Afghanistan. Mad fool Mattis, maybe that's a good thing to say, he resigned more or less in protest, or he was fired one way or the other. And at the end of the day, the military establishment, the intelligence services, the deep state, the donors, the media, they restrained Donald Trump, and he kept these human shields, basically, in Syria for another 9 or 10 months. And now he's made this quick decision based on Turkey. Now, Turkey, they were in the pro-ISIS, pro-Zionist coalition at the beginning of this war. They were referred to by Joe Biden when he said at Harvard, you know, in front of cameras, in front of a microphone, where he said that the problem is that our allies, our colleagues, are supporting ISIS. Well, Erdogan's Turkey was supporting ISIS the first few years of that war. Erdogan's Turkey shot down a Russian warplane over Syria. It crossed into Syrian airspace. Infiltrated or penetrated or whatever Syrian airspace, and shot down this Russian airplane. I think that was late 2016. And then was it 20? I'm trying to get all of the dates right, but. Then you had a failed coup attempt against Erdogan. It was almost certainly CIA linked. At least the spiritual leader of it, or the moral leader, was this guy in exile in American Pennsylvania somewhere. And apparently Erdogan was tipped off about the coup attempt by Vladimir Putin. And so that kind of marked a change, where you started seeing Turkey switch sides in the war. and ally more with Russia, with Iran. Now, they've got their own interests, and they pursue their own interests, but I think it's a big deal if in a couple of ways. It's going to make a difference on the ground that Trump got these people out of the way, and this is going to allow for Erdogan to create this safe space where, A, he's going to, if not eliminate, he's going to push back the Kurdish, you know, the PKK-linked Kurdish fighters away from the Turkish border. And then also he's going to have a place to dump these refugees who have now for years been camping out in Turkey, hoping to get to Europe. That's all fine. Trump's going to take a lot of heat for this, especially in the midst of the impeachment push. But, you know, it might be a way that he's pushing back against the impeachment, because as hard as the media tries to brew up outrage, there are going to be people out there, especially, you know, the type of people who watch PBS News are going to be like, wait, what? We're supposed to be fighting endless wars? Trump's bad for saying that these wars are stupid, huh? What? I think it's going to happen. It's not that Trump is like all of a sudden he's going to be based in doing the right things forever, but you know, every now and then he's got some good instincts. And maybe he feels that this is the best way to fight for his political survival, to ward off impeachment. Fine, it's a positive development, and there's not going to be a genocide of the Kurds. There's going to be a military defeat of you know, this Kurdish Liberation Army or whatever they're calling themselves. There'll be a military defeat. It's a war. There are going to be some people who die, but this is going to allow for an end to the war. The Turks don't want Syria to be dismembered. The Turks do support the territorial integrity of Syria. They don't want to have an independent Kurdish homeland in the north right against their border. And so I think once they've... The two objectives they've announced is to militarily defeat this Kurdish military group, and to repatriate all of these Syrian, in parentheses, refugees, many of whom aren't Syrian, but that they came across that border. Well, once they've done that, do they need to occupy that strip of land adjacent to their border forever? No, they don't. It would be just fine for them to allow the Syrian government to take back control of that territory and the whole territory. It's no longer in Turkey's interest to have this civil war go on in Syria. Before the civil war, and we call it a civil war, it was really a foreign invasion of Syria. But before 2011, Syria allowed PKK guerrillas to operate in its territory. That made Turkey mad, and Turkey allowed the Israeli Air Force to operate in its airspace and I think have bases there. We hear about the bases. I've talked to people from Turkey about the bases, but at any rate, Turkey was effectively had a military alliance with Israel, and all of this has changed, and Turkey is apparently basically switched sides. So it's a positive development. Go ahead, call me. Call. It's 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443, especially William from Montana. Because one thing I have tried to do in assessing what's going on is I know that our own news sources, like our own Zio Media, I don't see William. Has William called? I don't think he's called, but if he has called, I would like to talk to him. Well, I would like to talk to him. William, come on. I was talking. I didn't know you had called, but I was trying to conjure you up. I think I was successful.
Well, hopefully I'm me and not someone you conjured.
Well, so what I was just about to say is I don't trust that I'm going to get very good information or analysis from our media. And so I wanted to look first and foremost at the Russian media and see what they're saying about it. So what are they saying about
it? Well, they've been saying quite a bit about this long before this announcement. You know, they've outlined on many occasions how this could be solved. And the one thing about the Russian government is that they've never considered this thing a simple solution. And they've always said that there are many parties involved in this. And it's not a matter of what Trump does or does not do, or whether the United States withdraws, no matter whether it's 50 people or 3,000. They say that the situation is complicated because the Kurdish ethnicity, you know, that group has occupied on both sides of the border. I mean, you know, the YPG, the YPJ, and about four or five other three-character groups have operated on both sides of the border, and Turkey has, you know, kind of a big problem with the faction that's on their side of the border, and a lot of Turkey's, you know, Turkey has flip-flopped back and forth many times for many reasons, because this is a changing target. I mean, this whole thing in northeastern Syria is a complicated matter, and you know, Turkey has interest, like you say, to kind of get out of this. And what the Russians have been doing for quite a few times, for quite a few years, is saying this has to be dealt with. There's not going to be a military solution to this, and the Russians are not going to stand by and say, oh, Turkey is in charge. You know, whatever Turkey wants, Turkey gets. Because you know, one of the things, you know, there are people, since this announcement from Trump, there have been Kurdish leaders. And like I say, it's, you know, which leaders? Are we talking about the SDF, the Syrian Democratic Forces, or PKK, or PY, you know? There are a whole bunch of Kurdish leaders that have stepped up and said, you know what, we're ready to make a deal. We'll deal with Russia, and we'll deal with Assad. And let's please protect us from this possible invasion from Turkey. And, you know, like, if you're a political realist in this area, just because one of these leaders says something or doesn't say something, it's kind of difficult to find out, you know, to what extent is this person a leader, and a leader of what faction. And so, you know, one of the things, you know, that what I've seen in the news in the West is that this is all about what Trump will and will not do, and his threats against Turkey, like, don't you dare go in there and harm these people now. But there are more players, and I think there are players on the ground, and I think Turkey will also want to deal with Assad and with Putin to say, can you help me bring about some solution to this? You know, there's a lot of people on both sides and on all sides saying, well, Turkey, you know, they want to go in there and take over a big section. Well, that ain't going to happen as far as the Russians and Assad goes. That's not going to happen. But the Russians are very realistic in saying this is not an easy problem to solve, and they're going. It's going to take some very complex diplomacy. There's not going to be a military solution to this problem, and that's what the, you know, the military at the Pentagon, they always felt like, hey, this is going to be a military. We just need to put more money, more troops on the ground, boots on the ground, and we need to go in there and just make it happen the way we want it to happen. Well, you've seen what has happened over the last 4 or 5 years. That hasn't resulted in very much. And, you know, as far as the Kurdish leaders just decide, you know, saying, oh, we're going to switch sides, well, that's not going to fly either, because the Kurdish people, or these Kurds in Syria, they've done a lot of damage, and they've made a lot of enemies. And so it's not going to just be like, hey, we want to come over on your side because we don't want the Turks to take us to pieces. So the Kurds are in kind of a difficult situation, and I think that the only type of solution that's going to happen is the solution that has been outlined on many occasions by Sergei Lavrov, has had a lot of good things to say about this, and it always points to the fact that there are factions. These factions have to be dealt with. Some factions, just because you're a faction, doesn't mean that necessarily you'll get a seat at the table. Because you know, what faction are you, and how long have you been that faction? So it's going to be an interesting you know, situation, and I think that many of these Kurds, and even Erdogan, who everyone says, well, you can't trust him. Well, he just doesn't want this thing to blow up in his face, especially when you're talking about the Kurds that are on his side of the border. And so, you know, he's going to be wanting to deal with a group of people that are not seeking a military solution to this problem. So, and that is Assad and Russia. They're willing to seek a more difficult solution, which requires diplomacy among a very fractured and hard to define peoples in this area, just because there's been so many switching back and forth. And you know, they say, well, the Kurds, you know, they want to start their own state. Well, they were pretty much up in that corner fighting for their life. And also trying to keep from, you know, because there was a period of time, if you remember, when Turkey was advocating for, hey, why don't you give us the top third, you know, Israel can have the bottom third, and then, you know, whatever else is left can go to the Syrian people. I mean, there was that sort of take at one time. And so this is, it's interesting that I was watching, you know, what Trump was saying, and I congratulate him on making some of these statements, which I agree with. I believe that these universal and non-ending wars in the Middle East were always a bad idea. And even though he may have other motives for saying such a thing, I'm happy that that's getting out on the plate, because it's something that, you know, in my mind has been obvious for quite some time.
So, I don't know, maybe this is kind of naive, but to me, I would expect in a matter of months you have some sort of, well, the Syrian civil war gets declared over, and then you get some talks. You know, Iranians and Turks would be involved, and Russians in some way. And eventually you would have maybe some sort of autonomy for the Kurds, but with the militants excluded, something like that. Hey, are you able to hang on until after the break?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and William from Montana. And William, there have been a few times during the Trump administration where President Trump seems to have imposed himself on his own administration. For the most part, he seems to be kind of a prisoner of his administration. But there have been some times where he's shown some independence, some initiative, and especially I think of summer of 2018 when he met with Kim Jong-un and then with Vladimir Putin. Then he got his knuckles wrapped or whatever. But I think in particular that scene of in Singapore where he's standing outside that little resort conference room, and Kim Jong-un is there looking completely bewildered because I guess the conversations were going on in English, and Bolton was there clutching his clipboard and looking really upset. And Trump is just giving directions. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And that I was really proud of him then. Is there a chance that he is going to start, because he has some good instincts, is there a chance that he's going to start asserting himself, and maybe he had that phone call with Erdogan? Is he going to have some power phone calls with Vladimir Putin?
I think one of the things that this pullout does signal is the fact that in this area, this region of Deir Ezzor, it was basically seen by many people in that region that the United States was basically supporting, trying to have a safe zone for these ISIS fighters of various different names applied that seemed to change from week to week. Against Assad, you know, they were. It was sort of a holdout area, and
That's how I saw the Kurds.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I saw it.
Yeah, and the Kurds eventually started saying, "You know, this protection that we are being given, it doesn't bode well for us," because they started seeing that, you know, maybe we're just cannon fodder. Maybe they're not really concerned about us. And, you know, even Trump said at one time, he said, "I'm not interested in any nation building over there. I'm not going to push for a Kurdish state anywhere." And so I think what happened, I think what this is a good sign, you know, whether he'll be able to, you know, extend this or not. But I do think that by this symbolic, if nothing more, symbolic gesture of pulling out and allowing this area to sort of realign as it can, I think he has a good, you know, like the press really played it up like, oh, now not only is he pulling out, but he's threatening to destroy Turkey if Turkey doesn't do what he wants to do. Well, I don't think that's really what was at play, but that was certainly how it was played in the Western press. But I
and
think
what's Lavrov? Do you know what Lavrov is doing right now?
What he's doing? Well, he's been on this for quite some time. I mean, but nobody ever reports in the Western press. And what he says as a consummate, negotiator is that everybody has to come together, and there is not going to be a Kurdish state, that Assad is going to have eventual control over this place, and that will be to the benefit of everybody if they can be brought to the table and work together.
Well, thank you, William, for calling in. I always appreciate your calls, and I'll be back again tomorrow with Mark Dankoff in another episode of That's Thank You.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.